You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're on.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello and a warm welcome along to the William Hill Daily Racing Podcast. You join us on Monday's edition of the podcast, where we're racing at Lingfield, Leicester, Carlisle and Windsor domestically, with two Irish meetings at Listowel and Nace. And you'll hear all the best of the action from 1:50pm on William Hill Racing Radio with Dave Kellner, John Budden and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. In the meantime, my name is Sam Norris, and joining me on the podcast to take a look at some of the action is Alistair Whitehouse-Jones. How are you today, Ali?
Not bad, thank you, Sam.
Good stuff. We've been treated to another good weekend of racing. And there was a bit of a surprise on Saturday as we saw Limato, the even money favourite for the Sandy Lane Stakes at Haydock, get turned over by Ade. What did you make of the race?
Yeah, I was a bit surprised that he ran him, actually, because the stable had Music Master disappoint badly in the race before, and he had expressed reservations about the ground. It was pretty dead at Haydock, and I think that was clearly a leading factor in Limato's, surprise defeat. Though, in fairness, he was beaten by a good horse, and I just think the ground blunted his speed. It's disappointing, obviously, to lose an unbeaten record, but I think they'll go to Ascot, in the knowledge that wasn't its true running, and granted, a better ground and a livelier surface at Ascot, we'll see a different Limato. He's not the biggest, though. He's not a stamp of a horse, but whether he's going to really progress this season, I don't know. He's clearly very good, but might just be one of those horses who was a really good two-year-old. I don't know.
And the winner of the race, Ade, where do you see him progressing going forward now?
Well, I think the interesting aspect of his performance is that he's not considered as good as Muthmere, who was highly eye-catching, I thought, in the Duke of York. Only finished about fifth, I think, but virtually bolted for half the race. I looked at that race yesterday and I just thought, I was really keen on Muthmere anyway for whichever race he goes for at Ascot. I know he's due to run on Sunday, and granted, better ground, Muthmere is for me going to be one of the bets at Royal Ascot. So I'm not really bothered about a day.
Yeah.
I just obviously out of the same stable. I just think it really bodes well for Muthmere, who's considered different league to that horse.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. Certainly a boost for that horse. We also saw a pretty interesting gamble over the weekend as well for the Oaks, which of course we're not too far away from now. We saw Jack Naylor backed in from 25s to 8s, still behind one or two in the market, but what did you make of that plunge?
Well, it was a good run in Ireland, finished third in the Irish 1000 Guineas, and despite that classic's close proximity to the Oaks, a few horses of, I think, Chartouche and another Aidan O'Brien filly, whose name escapes me, also won both races. So it has been a decent guide to the Epsom Oaks. And on breeding, a mile would be her absolute minimum. So, she's definitely a fascinating contender. I think the 1,000 Guineas winner was going to take a lot of beating. But I think the last 1,000 Guineas winner to win the Oaks was Kasia in 2002. I think only blew since 1971. 12 1,000 Guineas winners have gone on to run in the Oaks, and 6 have won. So, there's a 50% strike rate there. So I think that bodes well for the David Watchman filly. And the ones who failed were basically non-stayers. So, yeah, Jack Naylor is definitely an each-way contender, but I think the favourite is a worthy favourite.
Yeah.
Take a lot of beating.
So, in your mind at the moment, then, if you had to have a bet on the Oaks, would it be Legatissima?
She's not sadly the bet of the century at her odds, but I think, that she's more of an Oaks filly than a Guineas filly. So you'd hope that she's going to improve on that new market form. And as I said, the stats are very much in her favour. So I think she'll definitely take a lot of beating.
OK, yeah, it would certainly be interesting to see then, just 6 days away from the Oaks when we record this. Anything else really catch your eye from Saturday, Ali? There was a lot on.
There was a hell of a lot on. There was a few. Haydock was an exceptional card, as you said. Don't Touch won the handicap on his handicap debut for Richard Fahey. Notably, very well backed, and for such an inexperienced horse, I thought he did exceptionally well to win. He was sort of idling close home, and then once Red Tycoon came to him, he rallied, and I think he's a pattern performer in the making. And in the listed sprint, Kingsgate Native, of course, won, but the second horse there, Outdo, is another typical David O'Mara improver, and he is further evidence that, you know, an in-form quality handicapper can bridge the gap to Pattern Company. I know that was a listed race, but it was a good listed race. And Outdo, I think, could well be going to Ascot for one of the group races, and he wouldn't be outclassed in that either.
Okay, yeah, fair enough then. We'll move on then from Saturday's action. That about rounds up the news. We'll take a look at four races on Monday. We've got one from Carlisle and three from Windsor. Three good handicaps to look at and a listed race as well in the mix, so plenty to go at on Monday. We'll start at Carlisle with their 7:40. This one is a 7 furlong handicap to class four with 10 of them down to contest it. Who do you like the look of here?
I like the look of a horse of Michael Dodd's called Get Knotted, who... this horse has got his quirks. I mean, he unseated his jockey going to post on his intended debut. And then, of course, last time out at Haydock, he would have gone very close to winning had he not veered sharply right in the closing stages and unseated his rider. You know, he's only gone up a pound for that. He's clearly handicapped to win races off his current mark. That tendency to... you know, to hang is clearly a concern, but they've got cheek pieces fitted on Monday, and I'd be willing, if this horse can stay on the straight and narrow this time, I think he's clearly handicapped to go very close, and I don't think this is going to take a massive amount of winning. So I think Get Knotted is without question the interesting one there. Paul Mulrennan is going to be taking the mount, and I think he'll be alive to this horse's quirks. He takes over from Connor Beasley. No disrespect to him, but Paul Mulrennan would be a stronger jockey, and I think Get Knotted is worth risking.
Okay, and Get Knotted for Ali in that 7:40 at Carlisle. It's over to Windsor then for the next three of our races. The first one that we'll do from there is the 6:55. This one is a mile handicap, a class five with 14 of them lining up for it. A couple of interesting ones here, Ali.
Yeah, it's a competitive handicap. This, I think, the key race is the course and distance handicap won by Divine Law at the track 7 days ago, in which he beat the filly of Charlie Appleby's called No Delusion, who I felt was a bit unlucky that evening. Whereas Divine Law dictated matters up front, No Delusion sort of got caught out of her ground a bit. I thought she did particularly well to get as close as she did to the Hannon horse. He's got a £6 pull on Monday. I think even if these horses met on the same terms under a more positive ride, I'd expect No Delusion to gain her revenge. So with an additional £6 pull, then I think she's got serious claims of beating Divine Law. Whether that'll be enough to win the race is not guaranteed, because this is fairly competitive. Pensac's Boy is in form. Mutamid is an interesting horse, handicap debutant from a shrewd yard, but I think No Delusion is going to take all the beating.
Okay, then No Delusion for Ali back into reverse the form with Divine Law. We'll go to the 7:25 at Windsor, the feature race of the day on Monday. This is a listed stakes. 6 furlongs is the trip for this, and 16 of them are lining up for it. And again, some useful types here, plenty of last time out winners as well.
Yeah, this is really competitive for, you know, a 6 furlong listed race. Normally you get fairly small fields, so they'll be absolutely thrilled to get 16 runners. I thought the interesting one was Outback Traveller, who has been running over further, but was simply 2-3 in the Victoria Cup last time. Showed a lot of early pace, and you can see why they're bringing this horse back in trip. And as a dual winner over 6 furlongs, it makes perfect sense. I think at this stage of his career, he just doesn't settle well enough to be a 7 furlong performer. So back at 6, drawn in 8. Presume they'll stay stand side if the ground remains on the quick side. So stall 8 isn't great, but it's not too bad. this horse as leading prospects on the figures. And as I said, I think the drop back to six could be an inspired move. So it's a competitive race, but Outback Traveller, I think, will give us a run for our money.
Okay, Outback Traveller then, the one in that 7.25 at Windsor. The final race on Monday's podcast then comes up at 8.55. It's the card closer at Windsor, this one. It's a handicap over a mile and three furlongs. Class 4 event, this one, and we've got the dead eight as well, Alan.
We have. The interesting one here is the favourite, or likely favourite, and that is Curb Your Enthusiasm. Just smacks of a real improver, this. He won at the track last time out, and not only did he win with a good deal of authority, this, if you actually look at this horse in the flesh, he really does fill the eye. David Simcock's adamant that he's going to make a pretty decent hurdler for somebody further down the line, but he's more than entitled to believe that he's going to win a few flat races en route to that. And you know, this horse is well handicapped. He's only gone up £7. He'd have definitely won last time with £7 more on his back. And as I said, if you look at him physically, then you know there's good reason to believe that this horse is going to keep improving for a while yet. So it's not the strongest of handicaps. You can make a case for a couple of them. Prior's Brook, the bottom one, Andrew Balding's horses are going well, and his maiden win looks a bit better now than it did at the time, so he's respected. But I think Curb Your Enthusiasm is the most likely winner.
Okay, then Curb Your Enthusiasm getting the vote in that 8.55. Could you just remind us then, please, Ali, of your four bets for Monday's action?
Yeah, Carlisle, we go for Get Knotted in the 7.40 at Windsor. It is No Delusion, who hopefully can gain revenge on Divine Law in the 6.55. Outback Traveller gets the vote in the feature listed race due off at 25 past 7. And then in the finale, Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Okay, excellent stuff. There we are then, thoughts of Alistair Whitehouse Jones ahead of Monday's action. Join us from 1:50 PM on William Hill Racing Radio for all of the racings. Lingfield and Leicester in the afternoon, Carlisle and Windsor in the evening, and the best of the Irish meetings from Listowel and Nace as well. It's Dave Kellner, John Budden and Ollie Pimlock guiding you through, so do join the guys from 1:50 PM. Thanks for joining me on the podcast today, Ali, and best of luck with the bets on Monday.
Thanks, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.